Welcome back. 16 minutes to 10 o'clock. You are listening to The Morning Review. You know, while police have launched that manhunt for the kidnappers of the sons of Polokwane business people, Nazim and Shakira Moti, there have been reports just this weekend of other Johannesburg-based businessmen who have also been kidnapped. Now, just a reminder, last week, four sons, Zidane, Ziyad, Alan, and Zia, between the ages of 16 and 15, they were abducted by seven armed men dressed in white overalls while on their way to school. IOL reporting at the weekend that there had been two business people up in Gauteng who had also recently been kidnapped. It's not something that is not unfamiliar in Cape Town as well. There have been several recent cases of missing business people. And earlier I spoke to policing and security analyst Martin Iwu of the Institute for Security Studies about whether kidnappings is now in vogue for organized criminals. Martin, do we need to differentiate firstly between kidnappings of a familial nature in where a parent or someone in the family takes a, for example, a child, and kidnappings where there is a clear financial motive, which appears to be the case in the Mota brothers?
I don't think we should. Kidnapping is kidnapping. If you put yourself on the position of the victim, you realize that the victims, they all have the same feeling, the same torture, the same stress, the same trauma. So it won't be fair to the victim to start differentiating between kidnapping for other reasons and kidnapping for financial purpose. Because if you look, for example, even terrorists, they do not always kidnap for financial purpose. They do kidnap maybe for recruitment. They kidnap for domestic duties that they require services. So if you start differentiating, you will realize that you have so many different categories of kidnapping, which I don't think that the law will be able to serve well.
In the case where kidnapping of business people, of wealthy people, to extract a hostage fee, has that become a clear modus operandi for those in the organized crime field?
We have certainly seen a lot of that in South Africa, and one would even say in Southern Africa in general. If you look for the past 5 years, there have been quite a significant trend in kidnapping of rich business people. What we saw in the past 2-3 years is that most of these rich people were Muslims. That's where we tried to find out what was happening, and only to realize that there was a Pakistani syndicate that was committing the kidnapping.
You say in a weekend article that kidnapping in South Africa is in fact underreported. Why is that so?
Yeah, because a lot of the kidnappings are not reported. Remember, most often the perpetrator will ask the victim family not to involve the police, not to report if they want their loved one to be safe, and that they should just pay the ransom. And once that ransom is paid, their loved one will be free. And so we see a lot of kidnappings that are not reported, and sometimes even for the family kidnappings, families deal with it internally, and this is not reported. So the estimate is that maybe half of all kidnappings are not reported. So what we have is probably half.
If we classify all kidnapping as the same, as you say, the trauma for the victim remains the same, whether it be a familial situation, whether it be a transactional or a ransom situation, you say that the trauma is the same for the victim. But then how do police then tackle this? How do we then put, for example, a task team in place if the reasons, the actual benefit to the kidnapper differs from case to case? How do we then tackle this?
Yeah, I think the first thing is that the police needs some training on how to deal with these different cases, especially in cases where the perpetrator asks the victim family not to involve the police. We know that they still need to involve the police because they cannot deal with it by themselves. But now it's how the police can be discreet to make sure that they do not put the life of the victim in danger. In some cases, we've seen where police have not been quite diligent and, you know, the loved one was killed or seriously injured. So what we need first is that police need to be trained on how to handle this kind of cases. And then secondly, we need to put in place a hot number where victims or family can discreetly inform the police, inform them of what they know about the case, if they've had contact with the perpetrator, to be able to indicate that also. And then the police will take the rest of the procedure forward. Then we also need intelligence because some of these kidnappings are highly organized by syndicate. And in this context, that's where intelligence is very, very useful. So if we have good intelligence, we should be able to detect some of these kidnappings.
Discretion, of course, would be key in this case. Is that why we haven't heard much from police when it comes to any information on the four brothers? Discretion in terms of their safety, discretion of how, in terms of how much information they have on the kidnappers, because of course the safety of those four boys, that is key.
Indeed, the safety of the victims comes first for the police, because you know, if they mess up the case, they could lose the victim very easily. So I believe that they have to be discreet. I think being discreet is a key part of the game. It's a key indicator to determine whether the victim is safe or not. Because if the police do not treat it in a very discreet manner, you could easily lose your loved one through kidnapping. So I believe that it's how the police handle the situation that determines success or failure.
Kidnapping with this type of motive, and of course we believe ransom is believed to be the motive in the Mota brothers case. It's not unfamiliar in parts of South America. There have been cases like this in Colombia, for example. We've seen such type of kidnappings happening in parts of the Middle East. What does it say about South Africa's situation, whether it be political, whether it be socioeconomic, or whether it be the influx or the growth of organized crime syndicates in South Africa, that this seems to be a festering sort of issue, with kidnappings being used as an aim of organized criminals?
Kidnapping is a global phenomenon. You know, it's not just South Africa or even Southern Africa that is suffering from this problem. It's a global problem, as you have mentioned. Remember, we have Nigeria, which is in Africa. They have the highest figures of kidnapping. In Nigeria, kidnapping is going on every single second. If you look at the statistics, so that's huge. The kind of kidnappings we have seen in South Africa, very less the political. The political kidnapping will be not so much, apart from if you count the recent incident at St. George Hotel, where three ministers were taken hostage, if you want to also count that as part of it. But it is not a common phenomenon in South Africa. What we see a lot most is family kidnappings and kidnapping for ransom, which is this business or transactional kidnapping that you mentioned.
I want to step back just from the Mota brothers case when it comes to kidnapping as a form of human trafficking. We've had police in the past saying that while they are concerned about issues of human trafficking in South Africa or emanating from inside South Africa, they don't see it as much of an issue. Can we also link an increase in kidnapping to a growing international scourge of human trafficking?
It used to be indeed, if you remember, before 2014, when the current laws came into place, where, you know, if you are traveling with a child, you need to document the child. There need to be a testament from the parents, both parents, before the child can travel with one parent or a guardian. That was because of the kidnapping of the time. Most of the kidnappings that were conducted during that period were kidnappings for trafficking. So a lot of them were children. You will recall many children were being kidnapped in South Africa. Many of them ended up in the trafficking rings, where they were either taken abroad or some went into certain services and so on and so forth. So, but that kind of kidnapping is not as huge as it used to be before 2014, when the law actually came into place. What we see now is that it's largely family kidnappings and kidnapping for ransom. Not that the trafficking is completely gone. Trafficking is still there, is still a huge problem. And you will see that in our the ENACT project at the Institute for Security Studies, which document you know, the organized crime in the world and in Africa in particular, has documented that kidnapping is the most prevalent organized crime globally and in Africa in particular. And Southern Africa is also part of that. So we have that kidnapping for trafficking, which is a problem. So trafficking is a major problem in the region. And if we can deal with that, we'll also be able to stop a lot of the kidnappings that go on, where many children are being kidnapped and shipped abroad or taken to certain companies for services where they work there discreetly.
Martin, thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate your time.